Just a couple of boys from WA. But if you're not, that's okay. It's the Mitchell and Michael Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. Thank you for downloading. Some return of some great Mitchell and Michael classic games. Diving into some great stories by our family members.
Granddaddle Tales is back. It can also be a daddle tale. I'm sure even mums like to throw in an occasional fib, but we get to the bottom if the tall tales you were told as a kid are true or false.
But before we go into that, we do have to infuriate Michael because there's nothing he hates more than flat earthers. But there's something that is way more stupid. Then, Michael Ross, I know that the term flat earther, nothing rages you more. You hate that people out there think that this globe that we're on is flat.
I do. I do hate it so much because we've known it's not flat for thousands of years.
And we put a ban on the show of talking about flat earthers because it enrages you so much. So I don't do it. But I've found something worse. Have you ever heard of hollow earthers?
Oh, hollow earth. I think that's starting to grow a bit. Because flat earthers have copped so much flack, I think hollow earth is on the move.
Now, it's to do with like the earth like being, you know, why would I bother explaining it? I could when I have a lovely video that could explain it for you.
When did you discover your belief about earth and what convinced you? Let's go for hollow earth first.
Oh, well, I grew up in a very strong Catholic background where I was from in Ireland, and my mother was a strong hollow earth believer. She kind of swayed me away from the Lord. I started reading things about like Halley's comets and things like that, and that brought me on to Edward Halley and his discovery of hollow earth, and all of it just made sense.
So the next question is for you to start off with. What is inside earth? You believe it's a hollow earth?
Yes.
What is inside the earth?
It's full of layers. My argument is still plausible because we haven't been to the centre of the earth, and there's so much we don't know about our world at the moment.
Okay. He's undone himself there at the end, where he said my theory is plausible because we haven't been there, and that's not how it works. That's not how science works.
But how do you know if you don't go?
You can't say my theory is true because you can't disprove me. If you want to have a good theory, you've got to prove it. So prove to us that it is hollow, and they can't. We know the Earth is solid.
That's like you hang up. No, you hang up. It's like it could be hollow, you know?
Look, maybe it could be, but it doesn't mean anything if something could be. It has to be proven. So if the Earth was hollow, gravity would be all out of whack because you'd have, like, everything on the globe would weigh more than the globe, and then gravity just wouldn't, it just wouldn't work. Like, don't get sucked in. I know it's big ideas, it's big thoughts. Don't get sucked in.
Did your mother ever tell you this one with Christmas? If you don't believe, you don't receive.
I didn't get told that by my parents. The priests like to say that one as well. I'm not buying in anymore. You can keep, you and Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo and all your boys in the BJJ community, like, you can get invested in that because you've been hit in the head so many times. But that's okay. We'll get to the bottom of CTE. But maybe your head's a little bit more hollow, like they're presenting, and so it feels relatable. It feels like it connects with you. Classic all-time favourite games.
Celebrity guesswork. It's like net worth, except you guess what the celebrity is worth. Celebrity guesswork.
That's right.
Michael Ross, I'll take it from here, 2016 sound production. For Mitchell Tinley making that. I've got some celebrities here, and I want you to tell me who makes more money. Who is worth more money? First off, James Packer or the entire company Ritz Cracker?
Surely it's Ritz Cracker has more than Jamie Packer.
Lock it in?
I'm going to lock it in. Ritz Crackers, whoever owns that.
Oh, by how much do you reckon? Throw me a stab in the dark of how many mil.
They have about 500 mil more than he does.
Okay, incorrect. Double incorrect.
Double.
I just wanted you to be double wrong. James Packer, 3.9 billion. The entire Ritz Cracker company, only $486 million.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, do your own research, mate. up next, who makes more money, Gina Reinhart or the biggest collector of fine art, Bernard Arnault?
Surely it's the fine art, because that's how you launder the money. I mean, fine art.
How much do you reckon Bernard Arnault makes?
He would be, let's say, 20 bill? And I think she's cracked the 10 bill, hasn't she?
Oh, I'll give you the win, but you don't get the bonus point. Okay. Gina Reinhart, $30.7 billion.
Oh, she's in the 30, okay.
Yeah, and the biggest collector of fine art, Bernard Arnault, $167 billion.
Is that like top 10 in the world?
It's pretty close, yeah. He's also a businessman, so, you know, obviously that's his tax loopholes. And finally, Michael Ross, who makes more money? Andrew Twiggy Forrest or the man who sells you a ciggy, David Winfield? You know,
Twiggy or Ciggy? Twiggy. Twiggy has more money than Ciggy's.
You reckon? By how many?
Oh, but other countries in the world still smoke a lot, don't they? Just because smoking's down in Australia, but like rife through Europe and Asia. Oh, I still want to say Twiggy. I still want to say that mining gets it done. Twiggy,
okay.
By five bill.
I'll give you Twiggy.
Yes. No bonus point.
Andrew Twiggy Forrest, $18.7 billion. The man who sells you a ciggy, David Winfield, who owns Winfield, only $19 million.
Good. I'm glad that he's not a billionaire. Have your kids just discovered? Because my cousin, so he's sort of like, even though we're first cousins, I very much see him as like a full generation beneath me. Because he's like about 20 years younger.
To be fair, you see most people beneath you.
he's like 20 years younger than me. And we're hanging out. We're catching up as a family. And he was going like, oh, let me show you this great thing, Pokemon Go. And I'm like,
sorry, sir. Didn't that come out like years ago?
First of all, yes, that came out years ago. And then Pokemon came out in like 1997.
Yeah, we grew up on that.
He's like, check out my Pokemon. And I was like, oh, do you want some of mine? Like, I'll trade you some. Because I had played Pokemon Go when it came out. We did a whole adventure searching for Pikachus when it first released. They were super rare.
Yeah.
And he was like, you have it? Because his parents don't have it.
Oh, no.
He's like, you have Pokemon? I'm like, yeah. And I sent him like a bunch of stuff that he didn't have. And he was amazed. And the kicker is, he doesn't, this is the wild thing, he doesn't even know about like the Game Boy games from the 90s.
Doesn't he?
No. He just knows Pokemon as like the show, the trading cards, and Pokemon Go.
Really?
He doesn't know that there are video games of Pokemon. That's how it started.
That is nonsense. There's a whole new world that he has not yet figured out. Are you like now his god?
I'm like his sensor.
It's the equivalent of like if you went to your dad and you were like, Dad, there's this new show. It's about these guys in like the war. And it's like, he goes, I think it's called like MASH or something.
Great. Oh, so amazing. It's about the Korean War? Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard about the war in Ukraine, but is there one in Korea? That's exactly what it's like. Kids discovering things that we've known about for ages. 1-800-011-666. What have your kids just discovered? Hit us up on the text line as well. Don't forget 0-4-800-97-400. But we are asking on the phone lines, 1-800-011-666. What have your kids just discovered? Because my cousin, who's nearly like 20 years younger than me, he's really into Pokemon. And he was amazed that I knew what Pokemon was, that I've played Pokemon for years. And the kicker is that he doesn't even know about like Pokemon Red and Blue from the 90s.
It's just shocking that he thinks you didn't know about this. And then you knowing about it, it's like you've just immediately bonded.
Yeah. I'm now like his favourite cousin because I can trade him a Haunter and it will turn into a Gengar.
Please don't.
A little. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you secretly love Pokemon. Look, 1-800-011-666. What if your kids just discover? We got Jane from Carnarvon on the line. What have they just discovered, Jane?
Well, actually, I work in after-school care for kids, and I had an 11-year-old come up to me and go, have you heard of this brand new game called Handball?
What, like classic, like two square, four square handball?
Yep, just normal handball. Yep.
Did you give them ideas? Were you like, oh, what if there's like a king, a queen? Did you do anything like that? Or were you just like sitting there amazed?
No, I was like, we played that when I was in primary school. And she was like, what? How old are you?
Which is like normally said to mean like, oh, you must be really old. But she would think you're really young.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jane.
Mitchell and Michael for breakfast. Get more after this.
Out of Geraldton, across the weekend, 14 headstones at the cemetery were vandalised.
What?
14 headstones have been damaged around the whole site from like thrown rocks, potentially even like gings, like slingshots. And it's just terrible. They reckon it was going on for like days. They're taking pot shots. And I got 14 in the end. And it reminds me of a time with my family.
It's time for the Manfredini memoirs.
That's right. The Manfredini memoirs, the tales of a Muckles, the Italian family, the Manfredini family. Michele's great-grandparents, the Bisnonno and Bisnonna, they are buried at the Midland Cemetery.
In Midland, nice.
In Midland.
A lot of people are buried there.
And the little Michael would go to the cemetery every year on his way to Dongra.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'd always make a little annual trip to see the
annual trip to the cemetery?
Trip to the cemetery. We really did.
But, of course, the family is so big. They go all of the time, all the year round. And one of the family members, they go. They go to see Antonio and Maria Manfredini.
Oh, yeah?
And they see that the middle in the cemetery has been attacked.
Oh, no.
The headstones everywhere. Smashed. Marble. Gone. Knocked over. The beautiful statues ruined. But the beautiful headstones of the Manfredinis, untouched.
What?
Untouched. Each grave either side, broken. Terrible, but they must have looked at the names Manfredini and gone, I wonder if that's related to Tony Manfredini. Tony's a pretty tough guy. I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to touch it. And this was genuinely the thought that people recognized my family's name and went, oh, I'm not going to mess with that one.
Come on, man. It's like your name's Manfredini, not like Soprano.
WA is home to one of the toughest pubs in the world, Mitch. The Pier Hotel Headland, once named toughest pub in the world. Well, it's got a competitor out of Manchester in the UK, Billy Green's, which has recently been demolished, much to the disappointment of some of the toughest men in England. So this morning for you, I have the toughest pub quiz. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the pub quiz. About to start. If you could just get your team name in, sir.
The Republicans.
Nice. It is always one like that. The Republicans. Okay. Quick little round. He's even got a bevy this morning. He's got a little bevy for him. A little quick round of the toughest pub quiz. The answers are, of course, either Billy Green's Manchester or Pier Hotel Port Hedland.
Yep.
First question. Which of this pub had funny business happening right on the doorstep? And by funny business, I mean a little bit of the how's your father, a little bit of the horizontal tango.
A little bit of make your father. I'm going to go the Pier Pub in Headland.
The Republicans with the first one, correct. Yes.
Because that's why they call it Headland.
Next up, which pub hates grasses, snitches?
Oh,
was it a big no-no to talk to anyone about what happened within the pub? Pierre I Hotel feel Hedlund like or Billy Green's.
I feel like that's Billy Green's. Billy Green's is a real UK thing, like no snitches.
Correct. Yes.
Hey.
It was a no snitches policy. Even if there was something terrible happening in the pub, you were not allowed to call the police.
No, and that's fair.
Bonus round. It's time for the bonus round. There's always a bonus round of the toughest pub quiz. What beer type is the most drunk in both countries?
Blood. Nah, it's Guinness.
You think Guinness? In both Australia, because this is in both countries, it matches.
Yeah.
You think Guinness is our number one type of beer?
In Headland, yeah.
Correct. It's lager. Lager's the number one type of beer.
Yeah, I'm not good with that. I'm only good with brands. I would have said like Swan Draft.
That's a draft beer. I don't think that's a lager.
Makes sense.
Final question. Can he go the clean sweep, ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans, and the toughest pub quiz? Which pub could you witness a man kick a sheep and then be shot by the owner with a crossbow?
I mean, kick a sheep, you're thinking UK, but crossbow, I'm thinking Headland. I want it to be Headland. I'm going to say Pier Pub Headland.
Correct, Republicans. It is, in fact, Billy Green's Manchester. Yes, one night a man brought a sheep in, another man kicked it in the head, and the owner got so mad he shot the man in the arm with a crossbow.
And now he's on the lam.
Nice. That was the toughest pub quiz.
Michael Ross, in Perth Wildcats news in the National Basketball League, some sad news because the Wildcats were trying to get a new import into the league at like a late request, but it's been knocked back by the league because it hasn't hit a deadline because there's been tardiness on the old paperwork coming through because of Russia. All right. The Russian-Ukrainian war and all the sanctions we have put on Russia has provided difficulty in getting certain papers done by certain times and clearances to get import Jonathan Brown in, Jonathan Brown III, not to be confused with Brisbane Lions player, Fox 40 analyst, from getting from Russia to play for the Wildcats, and I think it's like a tactic that we're probably upset with Russia on. Russia's, because of this war, has slowed down the hopes of the Wildcats winning another championship. So I thought, why don't we cross to our Russian correspondent, basketball correspondent.
We've got a basketball specialist from Eastern Europe, from the old USSR itself. It is Mikhail Jordan. Morning, Mikhail.
Hello. Hello, thanks you very much for having me.
Mikhail, why can't Jonathan Brown III, why can't he get here? What's the hold up on the paperwork?
Well, you guys say ceasefire, no more shots. No shots. He takes many shots. So we don't...
you thought that was part of the sanctions, that you'd have to bench him.
Yeah, yeah. We no more shots. No ceasefire. Fire. No, and defense. We need him to defend.
Does he play good defense? Is he? I'm sure the Ukrainians would want him if he did play good defense.
Yeah, but no,
if I can just say, he has a very non-Russian name in Jonathan Brown III. We have a famous Jonathan Brown who was a footballer. Is there any relationship?
He is Russian now. He's Russian now. He was American, but he is now Russian, and you cannot have him.
Have you been using him to drop any bombs from downtown?
he has been dunking all over Ukraine.
Thank you to Russian basketball correspondent Mikhail Yordan. Wow, that was great insight there, mate.
Oh, it's wild, man. That was amazing. Like, we should get more of that. How long was that call? Was that, will that cost us for long distance roaming?
I think he called us. We made him call the 1-800 number. Mm. So it probably cost.
But yes, very sad news that the Perth Wildcats can't get the import in time for the finals. So unfortunately, Jonathan Brown III, but good luck in the war.
Tackling the tall tales that your granddad used to tell you as a child. That's right, it's time for Granddaddle Tales. Mitch, my granddad Vic, he joins us on the line now. And granddad, I'm just going to retell you a story you used to tell me, and we're going to check if it's true or false.
Okay, yep.
So when we would have dinner at Grandma and Granddad's, Mitch,
yeah,
Granddad would occasionally tell a story that when he was a young boy in Scotland,
yeah,
he once licked his plate clean, literally licked it clean, and then put it in the cupboard. His mother then didn't know which plate was his and had to wash all the plates. Now, Granddad, is this true?
In my own defense, I was about five, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. But yes, it is absolutely true.
It's true.
Wow.
It's a true story.
So, did you ever consider how some little kids like sell lemonade on the side of the road? Did you ever think of being like a professional plate licker and like... instead of a dishwasher, you could just lick the plates clean?
My God, that's a marketing niche that I missed.
Why was this story told? Was it like a Michael goes, oh, I'm finished dinner, and you're like, mate, you're not finished. Back in my day, I used to lick the plate clean. Was it one of those?
No, I don't actually remember why I told you this story. But as I say, I was about five, and at the time I thought, oh, this is a good idea. So I licked the plate clean and put it in the cupboard with the other plates.
I mean, it looks clean. It's fair enough.
I'm just trying to save my mother some trouble.
Real selfless act.
I'm so happy that it's a true story. Greta, thanks so much. By the way, just a little additional.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy cask wine?
Do I enjoy cask wine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Why not? Is it because you've found that it comes in bottles?
I've got more money now. I can afford bottles. No. Cask wine contains a lot of preservative.
Right.
Not,
and
so
I react to the preservative in wine.
Oh, so it's because of that, not because it tastes horribly.
No, no, it tasted all right. Gosh, you know, I'm not fussy.
That doesn't mind a bit of good. We're talking the goon ban in Geraldton. There was a ban for 5 days, ended yesterday. You couldn't buy a 4-litre box of goon. They had upped the prices on all goon. They, like, changed what the minimum price was. And there's a thought from the police there, Mitch, to ban it permanently.
Oh, it's wild.
I just wonder, though, is anyone willing to defend goon on 1-800-011-666? Does anyone actually enjoy it? Will anyone put a stop to this ban? We've got Hayden from Geraldton on the line now. Hayden, do you even like it?
I love it. Personally, I think an event or a party isn't complete without a goon bag attached to a washing line, and you spin it around, you play a little game of Goon of Fortune. I think that makes or breaks any event.
Yeah. So it is part of, like, Geraldton's, like, events calendar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's 100%. That happens at least once a month, and if it doesn't, you've got to ask what's going on.
Now, is it the price or is it the taste of the goon that you like?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the price, of course, you can't steer away from, but the taste itself, you just kind of block your nose and just go with it.
So you admit that it's not pleasant.
It's not. It's not. It's... I can't even describe it. It's just weird.
It's the ritual, not the actual product.
Yeah. So how old are you, Hayden?
I am 21.
Yep, checks out.
Young man, yeah.
Checks out with the love of goon. Now, have you tried any other wine?
I know some people try and say, like, here's a glass of wine, you could shake it. I don't know. The legs? I don't understand the wine. Like, you know, when they spin it and they say, oh, the legs on this one is really good. You're like, why does the wine have legs? You just get it out of the bag and call it a day.
Rasgoon just takes your legs. It's got none. It wants yours. Mitch, I love a good cooking show. It is my guilty pleasure. And so I was doing a bit of channel surfing last night. I ended up on, like, the SBS food channel.
Oh, what time?
It was, like, 4 in the afternoon. So
okay,
like,
so not nipple time, not past 9 p.m.
No, we're not talking that SBS.
Okay.
It's 4 o'clock, you know, like, kids are going to be home. And I noticed as the show was starting, it had a PG rating.
Okay.
But I'm like, it's cooking. Why would cooking have a PG rating? Unless you're Nigella Lawson.
With my sweet juices.
Like, Nigella knew exactly what she was doing. And you know what? It's actually not that hard because cooking is very sexy, whether you mean it or not.
Okay.
It was an international cooking show called Cooking with Klaus. Oh, hello, everyone. We're going to cook a delicious schnitzel with some bratwurst and some delicious cake at the end. The first thing we want to do, we want to get these juicy sausages on. And you want to prick the bratwurst when you put them in the pan. And just leave them to soak in their juices. So we move on to the chicken breast. And you need to massage the breast. Really beat the meat until it is nice and flat. And then crumb it. Dip it in the milk. And crumb it. We're going to make a lovely little sauce. Get very saucy with some shiitake mushrooms and a knob of ginger. Going to make a delicious little addition to this chicken breast. And the dessert. Don't forget the dessert. No, this lovely chocolate cake is so moist. It's not like you can't help it. He wasn't trying to be sexy.
I'll tell you what, mate. You keep that up. I'll have a bun in the oven.
Today in the office, Mitch, you're not in the office, but we're getting burgers because it's Staff Member of the Month Day.
Well, bloody, I'll have to collect me award too.
We have never and will never win. You're going to miss out on the burger, but my wife always makes sure every month on Employee of the Month Day to make sure she doesn't miss out. She will ask me today to get her a burger because I've had a burger and she hasn't.
Why? First off, why?
I don't think she likes missing out.
Yeah, well, can't she just get it herself?
She can now. She's got the license now.
You used to keep her locked up and you wouldn't let her work and you didn't let her get her driver's license and you forced her to iron your clothes.
She's never ironed my clothes.
And now she has a job and a car. She can just go get it herself. Why do you have to do it?
I think it's because she wants to punish me for getting a free burger. I don't think it's about having the burger. I think it's making me pay for a burger because she doesn't like that I cashed in for free.
Yeah, mate. It's moments like these that I really hate being single, you know? All this, like, no guilt-free. Like...
If you enjoyed the Mitchell and Michael podcast, remember to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your mates.